in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
Here you go now. I see it.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. Six, five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey there, and welcome everybody to the Guy James Show, coming to you live this Wednesday, day after the debate. Glad to have all of you along with us today. We have got a lot to pack into this show today. We hope you'll join us. 866-546-5254. Always, as always, we love to hear from you. I have my views, and I like to hear yours as well. And I would particularly like to hear from any of our right-wing friends who have the guts to call and comment about their disgraceful, pathetic campaign by Palin and McCain. Even the New York Times today put out a scathing story about, in their editorial this morning, Senator John McCain and Governor Sarah Palin have been running one of the most appalling campaigns that we can remember. They have gone far beyond usual fare of quotes taken out of context and distortions of an opponent's record into the dark territory of race baiting and xenophobia. Senator Barack Obama has taken some cheap shots at Mr. McCain, but there is no comparison. Well, as you know, a lot has taken place since we last got together. We've had this weekend. We've had the stock market going wild. We've had the Palin-McCain ticket out being, indulging. Let's just say it like it is. Indulging in the worst kind of gutter politics of my lifetime. There isn't any question about it. These people know no bounds when it comes to indecency in a campaign. I don't have enough words to describe the way I feel about the Obama or about the McCain-Palin ticket right now. I really don't. Forgive me if I just run out of words. And before I go much farther, as you all know, what happened here in Lee County, Florida, on Monday, Sarah Palin's visit. I live in Lee County, Florida. That's Fort Myers. I live halfway between Fort Myers and Naples. But Mike Scott is the sheriff. Michael J. Scott is the sheriff in Lee County, Florida. And you must all know by now that he appeared at the Sarah Palin rally on Monday and was obviously, very obviously, there to denigrate Barack Obama. And I think that from watching the video, that is very, very clear. He said otherwise. He came across with this, "Oh, I use my middle name all the time. And when I sign my name, I sign my full name, Michael Joseph Scott." Well, let me tell you something. I went to the Lee County website today, and the name on it is Michael J. Scott. Not Michael Joseph Scott, as this skinheaded liar has tried to convince everybody, though, well, I always use my middle name. What's the wrong? He knows exactly what he was doing. He knows exactly. This skinhead dressed in his Lee County Sheriff uniform was whipping up the crowd for Sarah Palin in what turned out to be nothing more than a Republican hate fest filled with bigotry. And I may well hear about this from the Sheriff's Department about my comments back to them when I asked them to appear on this show today. I asked the Sheriff's Department to have the, I talked to his chief deputy in charge of their communications and asked that he appear on this show today, and they refused. And they refused because they said he has made his final comment on the subject. He, just like Bill O'Reilly, when Bill O'Reilly was caught with the sexual harassment thing and had to pay off the gal, I don't know how many million dollars, I shall never speak of this again. Well, isn't that the coward's way out? Isn't that the way out for a man who cannot defend himself? Just as Sheriff Mike Scott of Lee County, Florida, in no way can he defend himself for what he did. He knows what his motives were when he went to that rally. He knows what he was doing when he was standing up there to Barack Hussein Obama. He knows exactly what he was doing. He was stirring up hatred. And he's a bigot because of it. And a coward. It wouldn't even come on this program and defend his views. He knows exactly what he was doing, wearing the sheriff's uniform of Lee County, Florida. Now, as I found out today from the Florida Sheriff's Coalition or whatever it's called, I forget the group that they all belong to, it is not illegal for him to wear his uniform at a political rally because he is not a hired hand of Lee County. He is not an employee of Lee County. I don't see it that way, but the sheriff's departments do. He is an elected official. Therefore, he may wear his uniform, so says the Florida Sheriff's Association. I don't agree with that. I think if you work for the public, you draw a check from the public, by God, you should not be wearing a uniform just the same way as a military man is not allowed to wear his uniform to a political rally, so should the sheriff of Lee County not be allowed to wear his uniform at a political rally. Joe Biden's going to be here today. And you have my promise that if anything like the vicious hate mongering that took place at the Palin rally occurs at the Biden rally, I will strongly object. And I would walk out and protest. That's how sure I am that the Biden visit will be respectful and entirely civil. Because there's a difference between night and day between Republican rallies and Democratic rallies. You all know that. I don't have to tell you that. The Republicans are now turning to their usual path. We've seen it before. Smear and fear. But it's not going to work this time. Oh, sure. Their base will eat it up as usual. But the polls show that the independent voters that they're aiming for are not buying it. And they're falling further and further behind. 11 points in the latest Gallup poll that came out today. 11 points. This, after John Sidney McCain promised a respectful campaign devoid of personal attacks. Remember, he promised us that. I apologize to the entire nation on behalf of the decent folks of Lee County, Florida. Sheriff Scott is a disgrace. And by the way, to point out just how bad the political climate is here in Lee County, Florida, the local newspaper, the Fort Myers News Press, took a poll of the respondents and asked how they felt about this. And 60% of the people that responded to the poll said his actions were entirely appropriate. This is the same newspaper that defended sending out the racist DVD obsession last week. Frankly, I'm ashamed of this community right now. When I saw the faces of the people at that rally, the wackos, little kids They're to see the hatred. They're to hear the hatred preached by this woman, this despicable woman from Alaska. This attack dog, this pit bull, self-described pit bull with lipstick. I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed that that took place where I live. Not of everybody, but certainly the majority of the voters in this area and the people that turned out and thought that the things going on in this state. Think of the things that happened in this state at the rallies and one just down the road from where I live. Kill him! Terrorist! Treason! My view of this is that these people are whipping up a very, very dangerous kind of hatred. The fringe people, the psychopaths in the Republican Party, and they're doing it, as usual, with pride. It's disgusting, it's revolting, it's sickening, and most of all, it is anti-American. It's against everything that the good people in the United States of America stand for. They want to get into a mudslinging contest? We can do it. Barack Obama is too much of a gentleman to do it. I'm not. I will remind you of exactly the transgressions of John McCain and Sarah Palin, and we'll talk about that later in the program today. But make no mistake about it. These people are in very, very dangerous territory. They are whipping up hatred. The kind of hatred we saw that they whipped up back when John F. Kennedy was the president. The kind of hatred that they've whipped up against John Kerry and his very honorable record in the military. The kind of hatred that they brought up against Al Gore. Yes, and the hatred they brought up against Bill Clinton. This is a party of hate. Look at it. If you have eyes, you can see it. If you have ears, you can hear it. There is hatred in the air coming from every one of their rallies. And it does, in fact, sicken me. I'm so ashamed that that happened in Lee County, Florida, where I live. You know, if John McCain wants to play, we'll be happy to play it. We've talked about his role in the Keating Five here in this program before. We've talked about him palling around with these crazy, crazy, fundy, anti-Semitic preachers like John Hagee and Rod Parsley from Ohio. You know that he was involved with the United States Council for World Freedom. That's the far-right fringe group with ties to the Moonies. It was a gathering place for extremists and racists and anti-Semites. To their credit, at least, the Secret Service has started an investigation and to the cries of kill him and terrorist at these Republican rallies with children attending and young people attending. They're ginning up hatred and they're doing it intentionally. Now I might say that maybe they have been ginning up hatred. I'm hearing from insiders today that the McCain campaign is having second thoughts about their smear campaign against Obama. Now, I would caution you that it's not that they've all of a sudden become ethical. It's just that they've figured out it and maybe it's backfiring against them. So it's going to be very interesting to see in the next few days whether or not they continue with their attacks. I truly believe that they started this last week, and you could see the very day they switched it on with Sarah Palin instead of becoming the lovely little hockey mom that she is, instead of being nice Sarah, Sarah turned into a bitch. From one day to the next. Now, she's always had some of that in her, without a doubt. But she started displaying it openly, and she started showing exactly what she is. And I believe they didn't think Barack Obama would fight back. I honestly believe that. I think they thought his campaign would sit back and take it and take it and take it like the Kerry campaign did and like the Gore campaign did. Well, as they always say, they got another thing coming. Because the Obama campaign is not going to take it. And I think they fired a volley right back at him. I do think that they thought Obama wouldn't fight back. And they thought they could just go right ahead and do it again like they did to Kerry and Gore the past several days. We've seen the release of that short video and McCain's role as a member of the Keating Five. We saw Paul Begala mention on network TV of McCain's past participation in the fringe right-wing organizations. And on top of that, we have this information, and plenty of it, by the way, plenty of it, about Sarah Palin and her husband, can't think of his name right now, first dude, Todd, I guess it is, their close association with the Alaska Independent Party, and the guy that founded it, Joe Vogler. You do know the story about Joe Vogler, don't you? Here's a guy that hated the United States. Here's a guy that didn't want Alaska to be a part of the United States. Hated everything the United States stand for. Hated it so much that when he died in Alaska, he asked that he be buried in the Yukon Territory. And if Alaska ever secedes from the Union, he asked that his dirty bones be moved back to Alaskan soil that he loved so much. But he hated the United States of America. This Joe Vogler. And he actually was going to use the help of Iran to get to speak at the United Nations to denounce the United States government. This is the man whom Todd Palin belonged to this party, this group that this man founded, and the same man whose organization, Sarah Palin, willingly and cheerfully gave a, well, hi, how do you do, and we're so proud of you statement this year. And reportedly has attended their conventions in the past, but this year, and I know most of you have seen it by now, her lovely address to the Alaskan Independent Party. I wish you well, and the best of luck, and nicey-nice, and all that. So, I think the Obama campaign shot back with that. I think the McCain campaign saw it, and said, oh my. Maybe these guys mean business. Maybe we can't screw around with them like we did with John Kerry and Al Gore. Maybe we just better knock it off. They've tried to portray Barack Obama as some sort of a radical, as some sort of a terrorist, disloyal, unpatriotic. And maybe, just maybe, they now understand that no matter what they come up with against Barack Obama, that far, far, far worse waits in the weeds for them if they want to engage in that kind of behavior. I'm hearing today that maybe that's the case. I can hope so. We can all hope so. But I do, there should have been a question. One of these undecided, and that's another story that we probably should get into today, undecided, where the hell did they find undecided voters, that many of them, this late in the campaign, I would submit to you that since this campaign has been going on for some 18 months, day and night, 24/7, that anybody that's undecided right now might just not have what it takes to be responsible for putting on their shoes. But why didn't somebody ask last night if these people wanted to know all about these things? Why didn't somebody ask, and why doesn't somebody in the Obama's campaign? Why did he choose a vice presidential candidate who delivered this, like I said, a very friendly message, totally supportive address this year to this Alaskan Independent Party, a group who wants, like everything, to get the hell out of the United States and America? And her husband was a member of that party for many years, and she has been very supportive of him. Just imagine, if you will. Just imagine. Imagine if Michelle Obama had been a member of a secessionist group. Let's say there was one in Chicago that wanted to secede from the United States, a group in Illinois. And Michelle Obama was a member of it for several years. Would Barack Obama be getting tarred and feathered with that right now? You know the answer to that. You know the answer is damn right they would be tarred and feathered with that. Because that is just plain strange for somebody running for the vice presidency of the United States. I have to think if the McCain campaign had known about that, if they've truly vetted her, if they knew about that, how could they pick this woman to be a vice presidential candidate if they had known that? And they must be chagrined now. They have to be, since they've found out, because they couldn't have known this. They could not have known this if they did. The choice of this woman as a vice presidential candidate would be one of the most irresponsible things, and he's done many irresponsible things, highly irresponsible things since being a public servant. This would be the most irresponsible of all, to put a woman as the second highest office in the land with that kind of a background and with a husband that has that kind of a background. This cannot be. As I mentioned, if Michelle Obama had done a thing like that, the Republicans would be calling for her to be burned at the stake. America first. America first. The man has the unmitigated gall to use that as a campaign slogan, American first. America first. After picking this despicable woman as his vice presidential candidate. There were so many women that are so qualified on a Republican side to be president. Not that I would have voted for him, but there were some good women on the Republican side that he could have nominated. That it truly would have been good representatives. But not this woman. Certainly not this woman. I'm going to be so glad when all this is over. Won't you? Yes, it's big news almost every day, and it's something to talk about on the program every day. But I'm weary of it, and I know many of you are as well. I promised you some months ago that this would be, in fact, the dirtiest, ugliest campaign in our lifetimes anyway, and well, maybe in the last century. There were a couple at the beginning of the 1800s that were a bit rough. But everybody in the United States didn't get to see it and didn't get to have the full knowledge of it and didn't have it blaring on a TV set or a radio 24/7. So this will be and is already, as I predicted, and as many of you predicted as well, the dirtiest, filthiest campaign that anybody could run. It's going to be interesting to see if they do give up on this, if they see they're getting beat to death in the polls with it, if they see that America's not responding to it, will they try something else? Will they try going back to talking responsibly about the economy? Will they remember that there's a war going on? Hopefully so. Hopefully so. There were many things to talk about in a debate last night, and of course, we will. There's so much, I hardly know where to begin. I did not expect John McCain to... I didn't expect him to do anything out of the ordinary last night, and he did not. I didn't think it was going to be one of those things, and it wasn't. I looked for something I had written down here in my notes, and I'm coming up short right now. Let's, we got a couple of calls coming in. Let's head on over to the telephone here. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. It's Kevin from Brooklyn.
Hi, Kevin.
Yeah, I just sent you a link. You may find interesting about Sarah Palin.
Oh, okay.
Now you see why I left Florida.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm obviously speechless. It was ugly. It has been ugly ever since she's been down here, and they've had no compunction about saying just about anything.
You know, he looked like a member of the SS, and I think he purposely wore his uniform so he can look that way.
Oh, Sheriff, yeah, the sheriff here, Scott?
Yeah.
Didn't he, though?
Yeah.
I suspect they may be listening. I had quite the conversation with them about 2:30 this afternoon. And I suspect they are listening, and if anybody from the Lee County Sheriff's Department is listening, we know what a scoundrel the sheriff is, and we're not going to be quiet about it. He may want to forget about it, but I'm not going to.
As a friend of yours, please be careful. You know, down there, they kind of make their own, the rules are written on chalk, not even pencil.
Yes, they do. You're exactly right, Kevin.
Okay, please be careful, Guy.
Yeah.
I like to hear your voice every day.
Yeah. Well, I thought about that, and they are very intimidating here when they don't like you. I'll let it go at that, but they know how I feel about them, and I told him I was going to talk about it on the show today, and I think he was nothing but a coward for not coming on and explaining himself. But now, like I said, he's taking the O'Reilly saying, this is it. I shall never speak of this again.
Yeah, but, you know, in Florida, laws tend to be written in chalk.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Not even pencil, in chalk.
I think I may have told the audience one time, this is the way I feel about it. One time we had some vandalism take place in the complex where I live. And I got the license plate and saw it happening and followed the people for a ways after they left here. They came in and ran over some lights and so forth. And I called the sheriff's department. And you know what the sheriff's department said? Said, well, we can't do anything about it because we didn't see them do it. In other words, don't call us. We'll call you. We don't want to mess with your teeny-weeny little problem. I don't feel that way about all the department, but certainly at the top, there's nothing to write home about.
And it just, you know, it's, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised that it took place in Florida and where it took place in Florida. You know, as I've said before, and it's not knocking where you are, but to me the only civilized place in Florida is the southeastern part, the Miami area.
You're probably right. You're talking about cracker country where I'm at.
And it's just, it's amazing. Even the I-4 corridor, they have their little enclaves.
Yeah.
You know, I just voted last week.
Have you ever?
I voted absentee, Volusia County, and I don't think any shenanigans would go on, because I live in mostly a predominantly white county. Used to, at least.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it just amazes me how in the 21st century, so-called age of enlightenment, this stuff goes on.
Oh, it is. And it's a clear intent to stir up racial hatred and bigotry.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there isn't any question about that.
They have nothing. Absolutely nothing.
That's true.
They have nothing. He cannot argue on the issue. And, you know, if anything, Barack Obama has restrained himself, and he's acted the total gentleman.
Hasn't he, though? Didn't he... You know, I wasn't impressed with the debate last night because there wasn't a real debate, but didn't he carry himself well?
Yeah.
He always does.
Yeah, and the thing is, this is what, you know, this is going back to a conversation you and I had before, that you don't understand, well, now I think now you do, but because he doesn't want to come off as being the angry black man, which a lot of our candidates or political pundits do end up coming off, and I think he's smart enough not to do it, and this proves it.
Well, I've got some statistics I'm going to read a little while from last night. His favorability ratings went way up amongst the group that he's speaking in front of, and why not? The man is a polished gentleman. There's no other way to say it.
And, again, if you're undecided, you're too stupid to vote.
Absolutely.
You know, if you're undecided... You should be walking around with a leather football helmet, you know, literally, because
you're so right.
You're either a racist or you should be walking around with a leather football helmet.
What do you think? It's my contention that these people that were there last night that said they were undecided, it's my contention they just said they were undecided so they could get on the program or something. It had to be something like that.
I don't know, and I don't even want to take the time to know. At this point, okay, your house, you're being thrown out of your house financially. You have no job to go to. What decision is there to make?
Yeah, that's right. That is right. I see the market's up 136 points today.
Ooh, wow.
It was down 200 and some. It was, I don't know, it's had about a 500-point spread today altogether, so...
You know, well, me personally, I always thought the market is adjusting to its true value, which is the post 9/11 value.
That might well be it.
This economy has been so artificially inflated since the so-called war on terror. It's going back to where it really should have been.
Oh yes, I agree.
And. You know, because we have borrowed for this war like crazy, and the floor has fallen out from under us.
Well, in so many ways. You know, wages and salaries have stayed stagnant for so long, and people borrowed and used their credit cards and so forth just to get along, and now this is coming down on everybody, and we're in a bad way. You know, they talk about class warfare. Damn right, there's class warfare, and the problem is they won.
Yeah,
they did win. They're hauling off the loot right now, and those of us that weren't in that upper 5-1 whatever percent, the upper ones, why?
And what's so sad about this is the Ubers.
Oh, yes.
After the bailout, these guys have the audacity to go to some resort out in California that costs how much? $500,000?
$440,000 or so. I saw the invoice. You see the invoice on the internet?
I didn't see the invoice.
Oh.
I'm assuming.
Oh.
I heard it was around that figure, though.
Manicures and booze and liquor and hotel rooms and just let's have a good... unconscionable. Unconscionable. And here's that AIG, those AIG guys there... pleading poverty in front of the Congress.
Mm. You know, I say we need to pillage their houses and their accounts.
I would see nothing wrong. You know, maybe Kevin, things stay this way, the torches and pitchforks will come out. You know.
Well, we need to do that every now and then. We need to. Me personally, I think they deserve the Chinese style justice, yeah. which I mentioned earlier.
Well, they've been telling us to eat cake for long enough, and it's time for a revolt. It is absolutely time for a revolt. I've had enough. I think the American people have had enough, and I think if the Democrats running for the House and the Senate don't understand that the American people have had enough, why then it'll be time to throw them out too.
Well, the thing is, I already made my plans in case McCain wins. So
yeah.
I'm going to follow through on that. Well, I'll tell you that. Because this is ridiculous.
It is. It is, in fact. Kevin, good to hear from you.
Okay, my brother. And, you know, remember what I said. You know, those people down there play for keeps.
Yeah, they do. I'll be watching it. I'll certainly be driving the speed limit for a while.
Okay.
Thanks, Kevin.
No problem.
Bye now.
Okay. Bye.
Yeah, there's something to be said. He knows. He knows. There's a gentleman in the New York Times, by the Washington Post, actually, by the name of Colbert King. And I read a great article by him today, and I'll get to the phone in just a second here. He said, it's my fault. I should have turned my back to the TV screen and just listened to the debate. Instead, my eyes were glued to the tube for every second. Oh, yes, in addition to taking it in visually, I tried to listen attentively as John McCain and Barack Obama went back and forth making their points regardless of the questions asked. But that wasn't what took me off course. It was the visuals. The sight of John McCain moving around the set did it for me. I can't help it. His on-screen performance made me think of the 70s sitcom Sanford and Son. Specifically, the grumpy, patronizing, and sarcastic Fred Sanford, played by the comedian Red Fox, and McCain was the incarnation of Fred Sanford. McCain's movements, his awkward, stiff-legged strutting toward and away from the audience, called to mind old Fred when he was spouting off some of his insults and barbs directed at his son and his top nemesis sister-in-law, Aunt Esther. Obama didn't help matters either. He assumed the posture of Lamont, Sanford's 20-something-year-old son. Lamont, cooler, more level-headed, certainly less condescending, differed with his father on just about everything, yet he was superficially polite. Nonetheless, Lamont's disdain always came across, especially as he portrayed his old man as out of touch with the new realities, just as Obama did tonight. I'm sure I'll feel differently when I read the transcript, and that's out of the Washington Post from Colbert King. Right on. Let's go back to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy, this is Juanita.
Hello, Juanita.
I'd like to say something about the so-called debate.
Yes.
Well, despite everything, Obama came off wonderful. But why don't we have some kind of a choice who questions these people? I mean, like Jim Lehrer, Gwen Ifill. I mean, I've heard them be very biased. You know, Gwen Ifill, despite her new book, she's a big buddy, being buddies around with Condoleezza Rice and now Tom Brokaw. And I got so mad. He made me so mad last night because every time he mentioned time, it was when Obama was talking.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice that?
Yes, yes, I think you're right.
And I just don't like him. I don't trust him, and I understand that he is supporting McCain.
That's been my understanding as well,
yeah,
from people that I know.
He said enough things, you know, that
yeah.
Once he said, sent word to Obama quit picking on McCain, you know, he's an old, you know, his
sure.
age, you know. But anyway, I just thought it was, I thought Obama was wonderful. I really did.
I thought he did a great job. I did, and obviously,
yeah,
for
what it was, you know.
Obviously, the American public thought so too. I've seen.
And you know, another understanding I have, and I think that Brokaw said it, that he picks the questions.
Yeah, he picked the ones out of the ones that were submitted.
And somebody else that had said that the people who were asking the questions were not allowed to respond.
Mm-hmm. That's true. They cut their mics off after they asked the question.
But the next one, I understand Schaefer is going to be the questioner.
Bob Schaefer. Well, I hardly ever see any of them do a good job. It's too bad someone isn't standing there saying, answer the question.
Right.
Answer the question. You know, if you got to sound like a broken record, just keep saying it. Answer the question.
But every time that Rokoff say, you agreed to this, you agreed to this, but the first time he said it was to Obama, and most of the time he said it. And because you knew that McCain just runs on and on and on.
Well, I'm to the point where I can barely stand to look at him, knowing the way he and his partner Palin are acting and the way that they're running their campaign. I'm so disgusted with both of them. It's difficult to watch, but I feel in order to comment on the whole thing, why you got to watch, you know. Well,
but you know they're saying that Obama's going to do this and that and the other. To ruin the country and all that. Well, you know what? If I had my choice of people who I wanted to ruin me, it would be him over the other one.
Yeah. Well, and the outright lies. We had McCain last night when Barack brought up the idea about McCain saying, and this coming from a man who said bomb, 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 Iran.
Yeah.
McCain said, well, that was in a conversation with Iran. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. And I'm going to play the clip. It wasn't in a conversation. It was up on a stage in front of a big crowd.
He
flat out lied about that.
Yeah.
We need to thank your
call.
Did he
get a lot of applause?
Yeah. Oh, sure. Sure he did. I'm going to play that as soon as we're done talking.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling, Juanita. Good to hear from you.
And I want to thank you for playing that speech by FDR.
Oh, well, thank you.
I learned a lot from listening to it, that I didn't know.
Sound eerily familiar, didn't it?
Yeah. I wish, you know, John Hartman plays a lot of his speeches, so I think that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
We've had all these things in our past, you know.
I love to hear him talk. I do.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you take care, like Kevin said.
You take
care of yourself.
Yeah, we're going to have to keep the outside lights on at night for a while. Thanks, Juanita.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yes, John McCain, liar. John McCain said last night that bomb, bomb, bomb around thing was just a joke, that he said it in a private conversation with some guy, just with a friend, I believe, as he said it. Well, my goodness. It turns out that that's not true, and if you don't believe me, well, let's listen to Johnny Boy himself.
It's well documented that we have, for quite a long time now, known where the real problem is in the Middle East. And, in fact, the president adequately described it as the axis of evil. I guess my question is, how many times do we have to prove that these people are blowing up people now, never mind if they get a nuclear weapon? When do we send them an airmail message to Tehran? That old Beach Boys song, Bomb Iran?
Does that sound like a conversation with a friend to you? No, it was in front of a campaign crowd.
We need to have change in America. We need to do things differently. I'm going to promise you I will wage a respectful campaign. I'm going to promise you I will wage a respectful campaign. I promise you I will wage a respectful campaign. I'm going to promise you I will wage a respectful campaign. I'm going to promise you I will wage a respectful campaign. I'm going to promise you I will wage a respectful campaign.
War is a racket, Fear is just a tactic to pull the wool over our eyes. Future isn't certain. There's a man behind the curtain. He hides behind his clever disguise. For peace to prevail, truth must be unveiled. And I'll feel much better when George Bush is in jail. Poor Dick Cheney with a smirk on his face, he's laughing all the way to the bank. His Halliburton stock has gone through the roof. There's oil for Humvees and tanks. For peace to prevail, the truth must be unveiled. And I'll feel much better when Dick Cheney's in jail. What have they done? The king's cronies, the idiot son. A new world order's begun. Lord, forgive them.
Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they've done. They know what they've done. Hey, it's an exciting time here right now. There's an arena not far from. In fact, I could get in my car and be there in about 5 minutes here from the studio, Alico Arena here in Lee County, Florida. And it's at the Florida Gulf Coast University. And Joe Biden's going to be there around 5:30. And so the crowd is starting to build now. I appreciate getting a note from John saying he's heading over that way around 4 o'clock. It's going to be good to have him here. It's rare that we get the candidates here. We had a vice presidential candidate in the last election from the party. Edwards was here. Well, whatever happened to him? Phew, clear off the radar. So it's going to be a good time, and all the tickets are gone. There will not be a crowd as large as the one for Palin the other day, because the arena isn't as big, because, frankly, there just aren't as many Democrats here. But the Democratic community here, and the clubs have gone all out getting out the tickets and everything and rallying support for Joe Biden, and we'll have a respectable turnout this year. We will. Our local Democratic clubs have done a great job on getting out the vote. And in fact, all over Florida, they've done a good job getting out to Florida. We're going to take Florida. Do you realize that right now that Barack Obama is in a position that if he takes Ohio, well, let's just listen, Ohio, Virginia, North Carolina, Florida, Missouri, Colorado, or Nevada, if he wins any one of those states, any one of them, it's over, baby. Any one. And it's starting to show that he's going to win several of those states. I'm saying it's going to be a wipeout. That's what I'm saying. He's up by 11 in the latest Gallup poll. He's up in Florida. He's up in Ohio. He's up in Virginia. And he's pulled into almost a statistical tie, believe it or not, in North Carolina. And closing the gap in Missouri. Wisconsin, it's over. Minnesota, it's over. Iowa, it's over. Pennsylvania, it's over. So, once again, if you look at the electoral map, of the red and the blue states, they're pretty well confirmed that each of them have their territory. Virginia, North Carolina, Ohio, Florida, Missouri, Colorado, and Nevada. Any one of those states for Obama, and it's done. It's done. And I'm saying he's going to win at least three of those states. I'll stick my neck out and say at least four of those states. I believe he will win Ohio. I believe he will win Virginia. I believe he wins Florida. And I believe he wins Colorado. He could win all seven of them. The way the trend is going, I'm not going to predict he wins all seven, but he could. You watched the debate last night. We've already proven that McCain was a bald-faced liar, wanting to lie out of his thing about bomb Iran. He wants to always get away from the crazy statements that he's made, wants us to think that he's very consistent and very, you know, very well-balanced.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he is. And he wanted 10 more of these? 9 more, actually? He wanted 10 of these town hall debates? Man, oh man. Could he survive 10 of them? This is a nasty piece of work, this McBush guy. He reminds me of, and I wonder how many of you are in the same position. He reminds me of old Uncle Dave, who always had to be invited to the Christmas and Thanksgiving, you know. Nobody wanted to invite him, but he's part of the family, so you had to invite him. A nasty old guy that no one liked, but you had to have him present because, after all, he was, you know, Uncle Dave. You know, the guy you hoped would nod off to sleep after eating too much turkey so the rest of you could have a decent discussion without his acting like a complete ass. McCain is Uncle Dave. That's what he reminds me of. And from the polls I've seen, Obama clearly won this debate. I mean, if you can call it a debate at all. Frankly, all I saw was another boring talking point spat, which didn't do much to really show us anything. McCain looked like a tired old man wandering around on the stage, wondering what to say next. And Obama, you know, what could he do except just talk back to the inane McCain? And one thing that does bother me, and I understand his reasoning here, but it still bothers me as a Democrat. How many times did Barack Obama mention Democrat last night? I think the answer to that is zero. Just like the answer is zero for the last debate was. The next one's coming up. What, next Wednesday? I don't know where that one's scheduled to be. Anybody know? I should know, but I don't. CNN took a poll afterwards last night, and the results were just stunning, I thought. Just stunning. And let me just go through this CNN poll. Who expressed his views more clearly in the debate? Obama 60%, McCain 30%. Who spent the most time attacking his opponent? McCain 63%, Obama 17%. Who seemed to be the stronger leader? Obama 54%, McCain 43%. Who is the most likable? Obama 65%, McCain 28%. And the good thing about all of this from MSNBC, the part three of a four-part debate series is now over. And the big conclusion is that nothing has changed. And nothing changing isn't a good thing for McCain. He needs to be gaining on every one of these, and he's not. They needed to gain something off that that performance from Little Miss Muffet last week. What's her name? Palin. But they didn't gain anything after that. Actually, she got her ass handed to her in that, and so did McCain last night. But they need something to change the path, the trajectory that they're on, and they're not getting it. And McCain didn't get it last night, and now he's got one more debate next week. And frankly, what's he going to do? I mean, you looked at that man up on that stage last night, and he appeared to be the grouchy, desperate man who lies just flow freely from his mouth. And you know the comment he made? That one? That was really nice, wasn't it? Who voted for that? That one. Yes, sir. I'm surprised you didn't turn around and say, who voted for that? You did, boy. I'm surprised you didn't say that. Andrew Sullivan, a guy that, he's got a good political mind with the Atlantic magazine. He said, this was, I think, a mauling. A devastating and possibly electorally fatal debate for McCain, even on Russia. He sounded a little out of it. I've watched a lot of debates and participated in many. I love debate and was trained as a boy in the British system to be a debater. I debated dozens of times at Oxford. All I can say is that simply on terms of substance, clarity, empathy, style, and authority, this has not just been an Obama victory. It has been a wipeout. It has been about as big a wipeout as I can remember in a presidential debate. It reminds me of the 1992 Clinton-Perot-Bush debate. I don't really see how the McCain campaign survives this. Well, I agree with Andrew Sullivan on that. And did you hear McCain, and you have to wonder, I believe his competency is a serious issue. I'm serious. I'm not being facetious here. I'm not being nasty. I do believe the competency of John McCain is at issue. Did you hear this man, a so-called expert on foreign affairs and an expert on the United States military, did you hear him last night call General Petraeus, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff? Well, he did. Yes. John McCain last night, if you'll remember, and if you'll watch that again, if you didn't catch it the first time, he most definitely, absolutely called General Petraeus the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Now, is that a man that doesn't remind you a little bit of Ronald Reagan in his latter years as president, who couldn't even tell you who his Joint Chiefs of Staff chairman was at the time? Do you remember when Ronald Reagan was asked that, he was testifying about something? And ask about his Joint Chiefs chairman, and he didn't know his name? Evidently, John McCain doesn't know him either. He thinks Petraeus is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. That is clearly what he said last night. That worries me just a bit. I'm sure it might worry you just a bit as well. I was startled by that. John McCain thinks General David Petraeus, the Joint Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And he also said, well, he's the CENTCOM commander. No, he isn't yet. Doesn't take over that till the 31st of October. So he was wrong again. He was wrong so many times last night. So many things he said was just so out to lunch. But then that's John McCain. Well, we've got news. No, we don't. We don't have news coming up? What happened to the news? I don't know what happened to the news. Let's go check and see if we can find it here real quick. We're stalling for time here where we find the news today. The normal place of the news is, it isn't there today, so we're looking around here to see if we can find it. Maybe not. I'm not sure. Live radio ain't it great. Well, here we go. Sooner or later, we're going to have news.
Track record of Republican-led disasters from Iraq to Katrina, Barack Obama has the momentum heading into the final weeks of the presidential campaign. One of the unknown elements on Election Day, though, will be how big a factor lingering racism may be in the voting. In a speech earlier this year, AFL-CIO Secretary Treasurer Rich Trumka directly addressed the race issue that could still cost Obama critical working-class votes in key states.
We can't tap dance around the fact that there's a lot of folks out there. They just can't get past the idea that there's something wrong with voting for a black man. Well, those of us who know better can't afford to sit silently or look the other way while it's happening.
The strike at Boeing has entered its fifth week, and the company's chief executive officer is signaling he is unwilling to move off of a key sticking point. Jesse Russell reports.
An email sent to workers at Boeing suggests the current strike could continue for some time. One of the most important components for the 26,000 striking workers is the right for the union to be able to bid on new outsourced work. Boeing Chairman Jim Neary sent an email to workers on Monday that said it would be gravely unwise for Boeing to agree to terms in any contract that would fundamentally restrict our ability to manage our business.
Talks will resume on Thursday between the Communications Workers of America and Quest Communications. The workers rejected the most recent contract offer in September and have given the negotiating committee the authority to call a strike if a new contract reflecting employee interests cannot be reached. The workers are currently working under the previous contract, which has been extended until Friday. The CWA represents 20,000 Quest workers in 13 states.
We have 30 days to change the world. We can't take another 4 years of it. All of our rights, all of our benefits, our right to organize, our right to affordable health care, our right to a roof over our head and a job, is going to go away. Another 4 years of these disastrous politics.
Union activist John Henry with Santa Fe's IATSE local. Labor activists held a funeral for the middle class in Santa Fe on Tuesday.
We marched behind a hearse with a coffin and talked to people, the many visitors from around the world and our own members, that the Bush-Cheney policies of the last 8 years have succeeded in killing the middle class.
Here is today's economic report. Hey employers, did you know that allowing your employees the option of working from home might be good for the company? A new survey suggests a burst in productivity and lowered operational costs for companies that let employees telecommute. The majority of the workers surveyed are in IT, and 67% said that increased productivity is the primary end result because telecommuting cuts out the time spent traveling to and from work.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Here's the guy changing the way you hear music, Billy Shears.
Tune in to Night Sounds every Saturday night, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. You'll hear the latest in new music releases, special segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications with the sassy and classy Erica Richards. For requests and dedications, direct your email to nightsounds@billyshearsmusic.com. So tune in and stop by the chat room this Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Thanks for lending an ear.
He's practicing the politics of the past. It's John McCain.
His attacks on Barack Obama? Not true. False. Baloney. The low road. Baseless. John McCain. Same old politics. Same failed policies. Barack Obama supports a $1,000 middle class tax cut, an energy plan that takes on oil companies, develops alternative fuels, and breaks the grip of foreign oil. That's change we can believe in.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Fly! Fly, you hear me? Give my creation! Fly!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Get countdown. Six. Five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey, back with you here on the Guy James Show. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for staying with us through the news. Had a little problem with the news link there today, but eventually it popped up. I just have been advised, and I looked at it, that Joe Biden, just a little while ago, said that the Republican John McCain isn't a maverick, but President Bush's sidekick. Barack Obama's running mate ridiculed McCain during an appearance at the University of South Florida on Wednesday. He said McCain is an angry man, lurching from one position to another and making ugly attacks against Obama instead of offering solutions to a troubled country. Troubled country. You know, that's an understatement, isn't it? Troubled country. We've got the economy gone to hell in a handbasket. I can barely believe what I'm seeing. I got busy here talking a while ago during the show, and the last time I looked, the Dow was up like 150 points. I think it ended up down somewhere around 200 points. I'm seeing 194 points down. Oh. Talk about a wild day on Wall Street, and it appears that every day is going to be a wild day on Wall Street. I know that the restrictions on short selling runs out at midnight tonight. Will that have an effect tonight or tomorrow on the market? How much of an effect will the short sellers have on the market? A lot of people blame them for a good bit of the trouble. So we shall see, but they've been banned from short selling for, what, a week now, something like that? I forget just exactly how long, but so the short sellers are going to be at it, back at it tomorrow. I don't know. It's beginning to look like almost nothing will stop this runaway train that we've got going here. We're talking about, I don't know how many bailouts taking place. It's happening around the world right now, and that's especially troublesome. When it starts around the whole world, well, that's not a good thing. I was looking at, from Time, some of the debate statistics from last night, and they're fabulous. After the debate of the independent voters there, 26% of the audience had decided, because of John McCain's wonderful job last night, 26% had become McCain supporters, while 42% said they planned to vote for Obama. And a quarter of the group was still undecided. A quarter of them still undecided. So we shall see about that. Even more dramatic was the shift in the voters' personal reactions to the two candidates. Before the debate, McCain had a 48-46 favorability rating. That's before the debating. And his favorability went up. What was it? Went up to 56. 56. So he went up just a little bit. McCain did. But Obama's favorability numbers went through the roof. They went to 80%. 80%. As Joe Biden would say, let me repeat that, 80% of the undecided voters had favorable views of Obama, and only 14% saw him negatively. That's a net rating of plus 66. And as you well know, Bill Clinton didn't even get that kind of thing. Wow. Wow. And also, Obama improved his standing on several key attributes. Only 38% of voters thought he has what it takes to be president before the debate, and by the end, he had convinced more than half the room, 56%, that he was ready. One of McCain's goals for the evening was to convince viewers that Obama was a liberal who would raise their taxes and hike spending, but the number of voters who thought Obama was too liberal actually decreased throughout the evening. Well, Joe, you might be toast, buddy. You might be toast. What's John McCain going to do when he goes back to the United States Senate after running a disgraceful campaign, a place where he's not well-liked anyway by most of the people, from what I hear? He's got a few friends, but from what I hear, basically his colleagues don't care much for him, and some of them have just openly said so, even of people on the Republican side. I don't know. And let me ask you this, John McCain. If this William Ayer stuff is so almighty important, why didn't you bring it up last night? Huh? If it's really important, if you got to have Sarah Palin out there talking about it every single day, every place she stops, she's accusing Obama of being a terrorist now. If this William Ayer stuff is so damned important, why didn't you bring it up last night in front of the American people? Huh, John? I know the answer to that. We all know the answer to that. First of all, because you know in your heart that the Ayers stuff is crap. You know, and it doesn't hold any water at all. And secondly, you don't have the guts to bring it up in front of the American public yourself, McCain. No, you don't have the guts. Instead, you've got your pit bull in a skirt, that nasty one with the fancy glasses and the lipstick. You got her doing your dirty work for you, and it's not working. Not only are you going to be a loser, but you're going to go back to your job in the United States Senate as a disgraced loser. A man who would do anything to get power. You, my friend, are pathetic. And you've heard McCain talk about Social Security, and I thought they'd really get into that last night. I might have missed it, but during the past months of all this financial market turmoil, I haven't once heard Obama slam McCain for his support of Social Security private accounts. Do you remember that when he said, I'm going to do for, you know, Social Security? He would ruin it. He would ruin it. If he ever got his hands in Social Security, the biggest bailout of all wouldn't be very far behind. We'd have people losing their Social Security. Imagine if Social Security was in the market right now. And it troubles me when I keep hearing McCain talking about last night about victory in Iraq and Afghanistan. victory in Iraq and Afghanistan. And he says he always talking about David Petraeus as though David Petraeus walks on waters. And I don't have a particular bone to pick with David Petraeus, but I do object to the way that Junior Bush and his sidekick, John McCain, talk like this is all in the hands of General David Petraeus. Well, the new National Intelligence Estimate, the NIE that we always hear about all the time, reportedly warns that unresolved ethnic and sectarian tensions in Iraq could unleash a new wave of violence, potentially reversing the major security and political gains achieved over the last year. The NIE's findings cast doubt on McCain's frequent assertions that the United States is on a path to victory. And instead, this is the NIE speaking now, instead echo General David Petraeus, who's objected to using the word victory for war in Iraq. So, Mr. McCain, if you're so all fired into General Petraeus and you believe everything he says, why don't you listen to him when he says he objects to using the word victory in Iraq, because it's pretty far-fetched. Very far-fetched. And did you notice, and I'm sure most of you did, I am so tired of hearing McCain say, I know how to win wars. Yeah, all right. Like he's been in a winning war. And last night he said, I'll get Osama bin Laden, my friends. I'll get him. I know how to do it. Really. If he knows how to get Osama bin Laden, and he's keeping it to himself, wouldn't that be a terrible anti-American thing to do? I mean, if that's true, why in the hell doesn't he tell somebody how to do it right now? If he really knows how to get bin Laden, why doesn't he go down and knock on the front door of the White House and tell George W. Bush or Robert Gates or anybody that can act to capture or kill bin Laden? Why doesn't he tell them how to do it? If he really knows, why is he withholding his knowledge about it? It's a joke to hear him say stuff like that. I know how to do it. I know how to get bin Laden. I'll find him and kill him, yes. Might even go out and do it myself. Well, scary man. Scary, scary man. And McCain keeps bringing up the point that Obama is going to meet with Ahmadinejad without setting prior conditions. You know, the Republicans love to gloat over Henry Kissinger. Always talking about what a great guy Henry Kissinger is. Well, Henry Kissinger's done some good. I can't deny that. He's done some terrible things as well. But if they worship Henry Kissinger, and McCain keeps pointing out that Obama's going to meet directly with Ahmadinejad without setting prior conditions, Henry Kissinger agrees with Obama. Henry Kissinger, McCain's own advisor, agrees with Obama. He does not believe in continuing the Bush administration's policy of setting conditions before starting negotiations. So, I think the debate all in all last night, while it wasn't what I would call a debate, actually, I'd like to see them actually run one like a real debate, and I'd like to get some more substantive issues and not all the lying. You know, we ought to have a fact checker sitting on the sideline and raise a big red flag and say, nope, you're out of bounds there, that's wrong. I'd like to see that happen. But it wasn't much on substance last night. I don't know, not too much anyway. Let's head on over to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Gonzo greetings, Guy. It's Spike in Pennsylvania. How you doing?
Hi. Good to hear from you.
All right. I got to say, that debate was kind of brutal after a while. Between the fact that Tom Brokaw has no control, basically. Actually, none of the moderators have really held any control.
No.
Over the candidates, especially the vice presidential candidates debate, where Gwen admitted on Meet the Press later that Sarah Palin just blew her off.
Yeah.
you know. Probably of an effect of the fact that they stopped letting the League of Women Voters run the show, who actually enforced some rules when they were in charge. And now we have the Presidential Commission, who basically will not rock the boat for any candidate that comes before them. Another thing I got a kick out of, you certainly hit the nail on the head, you know, I know how to get, you know, Bin Laden, which, you know, the Dog the Bounty Hunter made the same claim, too.
I forgot about Dog.
The scariest part is I think Dog the Bounty Hunter might have a better clue on how to get him than John McCain.
I trust him a little more, yes.
Yeah, he's not a savory character, but I guess the power of the mullet. But
the champion mullet there.
But the other things I got a kick out of in the debate was, you know, like, I wanted to put meat thermometers in my ears as the debate went on, McCain would talk, because it was, he doesn't break from the script one bit, and we've heard it a million times. You know, it's not like Obama's necessarily speaking from the cuff. He's, you know, he's preparing, he's remembering his talking points before he comes out, but he, you know, he mixes them up, makes them sound different, it comes off a little more sincere. McCain just, it's the same robotic line. It's like when you dial the wrong number and you just don't hang up the phone. That's what listening to McCain has become, you know.
Hang up the phone and dial
again. You know, I mean, that's really what he's become. And the thing I got a kick out of was on the mainstream media wrap-up shows, which I guess in a way you could argue maybe there is a bias now from them for Obama since he's spending more in advertising. The angle no one talks about in media bias, but the one interesting, especially MSNBC, they had a room full of voters, Republicans, Democrats, undecided independents, and it overwhelmingly went Obama. And a lot of them were Republicans, and a lot of the Republicans are starting to say, you know, we're getting a little tired of the McCain campaign's becoming dirty now. They're going for the cheap shots, and we don't like that. And it's kind of funny, he built his base around, I'm not going to campaign like that, and now that he is, he's starting to chase off a lot of his core support. I mean, the only thing he has going for him now is Caribou Barbie, which I can't even explain who these people are that want to vote for him for her. But
I can't either. That one.
Other than maybe the writers for the Daily Show, because of great material.
Well,
for them.
That one's got me. That one has me. I watched the local TV here when Palin was here the other day, and they had extensive coverage of that. And as they panned around that audience, and I got to look at some of the faces and the expressions on the faces, the looks of adoration and love for this woman, I just was blown away by it. Crazy looking.
No, I live in Pennsylvania, and today they're at Lehigh University, which is it's the crazy right-wing Patriot League school from Pennsylvania, Lafayette being the school I'm a fan of, the Leopards.
Leopards, yes, Lehigh.
Lehigh and Lafayette, yep.
Yep.
Oldest rivalry in college football. And Lehigh, they've been teaching intelligent design, and there's a group of young Republicans trying to legalize carrying pistols on campus post-Virginia Tech, because, you know, what better way to combat it than have a bunch of idiots taking wild shots?
Wow, getting in competition with Regent University there.
Mm. Yeah, and so, of course, no shock, McCain Palin stopped at Stabler University today. At the Stable Arena, which happens to be where I went to my first concert way back when. And the place isn't that big. It holds a little under 10,000. I think it has 7,000 seats. I actually know people who went there today. They actually were on the protester side, but one of them knew a security guard. Apparently the place was loaded beyond, you know, basically twice as many seats they had. You know, the place was jam-packed, and I could see it from the local footage from live TV feeds because Sarah Palin was with them. When he was in the Philadelphia area, huge crowds for Sarah Palin. When he's made appearances in Pennsylvania by himself, it's a ghost. I mean, all you need is tumbleweed to blow across the stage while he speaks.
Yeah. Do you have a? What's your take on that?
I think what it is it the ultra hard right wingers like her more than him because she's more to the right than him. I think that's really what it's come down. I think she's given the Constitution Party candidate a run for his money is what it that's her purpose, is to keep them from voting for the Constitution Party, the far right wing fringe. You know, And it's kind of funny considering, you know, we're only a little more than 20 years removed from a party that had people like Lowell Weicker from Connecticut, a liberal Republican. And, you know, it's kind of amazing how far to the right the party has gone in just about 30 years. And it's at the point now that a woman who's this crazy, they had to dig out someone basically this crazy to keep their most loyal supporters in check. You know, they don't want the Rick Santorum base to vote for a third party, I guess.
Oh, Rick, you had to bring him up.
Well, unfortunately, he was our senator for many years here. Well, we're a weird state now. I don't know how to explain Pennsylvania.
Tell me something. You know, that idea that they came up with that Pennsylvania's like, what was it? Philadelphia on the right and Pittsburgh on the left and Alabama in the middle. Is it really that way? I mean, I'm fairly familiar with Pennsylvania, but I that Alabama thing in the middle, is that true?
Central Pennsylvania, more so, yeah. When you head out towards State College, Elysburg, you really head into far right wing. Well, basically, you head into the part of the Commonwealth where people don't really know what anyone who isn't white looks like. They're not familiar with that. They are very few, other than maybe Harrisburg, because there's public housing, so they might be a lot of people who aren't white in the Harrisburg area, you know, and they're the service employees who clean basically the toilets of the politicians. But, you know, when you head out in the rural Pennsylvania, it's pretty white. The phrase "get her done" is like a brand name on vehicles almost.
Well, I've been to State College many times. Being a Buckeye fan, whenever we'd play out there, I'd always head out to State College. And, you know, politics aside, on Saturdays and football Saturdays, don't even think about it. It's football. Is State College, and I don't think a lot of people understand what a really rural area State College, Pennsylvania is. But is that all Republican territory through there?
That county is, definitely, yeah.
Really?
Well, when you look at the maps by county of our legislators and state senators in Harrisburg, overwhelmingly, Harrisburg is very represented by red counties. Really, it's kind of funny, though, because aside from that, we've had a two-term now Democratic governor. We haven't gone for a Republican candidate for president since, I think, 92 was the last time the Republicans won, with H.W. Bush versus Bill Clinton. I believe Bill Clinton was reelected by Pennsylvania. That I could be wrong. I'm only 29, so I might have that wrong. For the most part, it's a very, very conservative state for the most part, hence why I probably went for Hillary Clinton, because the Democrats in the central counties, they were less frightened by Harvey since she had something in common with them on the surface, which is a sad commentary. But, you know, I do know some farmers around here who are very supportive of Obama, and that could be a big part of Pennsylvania, too, that no one's thinking about is the fact that there were a lot of people who wanted that farm bill to pass in Pennsylvania, and yeah, a lot more comes back to that farm bill than they realize when McCain supported Bush on the veto. Although, when I looked it up, it looks like McCain never even cast a vote on it to show just how little he's been paying attention to his job.
What were you saying about Pennsylvania's voting history? About they voted how for how long now?
I know since 2000, definitely we've voted for a Democrat.
Okay,
I
got it here. 92, 96, 2000, 2004, Democrat. And the three elections before that, 80, 84, and 88, with Republican.
Okay. And I didn't even realize. I thought, oh, you know what it is? My county went for Bush in 92. That's why I was thinking.
They went for Carter in 76, and 72 was Republican, and Lyndon Johnson in 68.
And a lot of that is actually, a lot of people say Pittsburgh. A lot of that's really, basically, it's the three cities of Philadelphia, which is the king, of course, the most populated and the most Democratic. Allentown and the Lehigh Valley, which is a lot very Democratic and also very working class, and Harrisburg, which really the real people who live in Harrisburg for the most part are your true Democratic type voters. You know, since the Republicans you find in Harrisburg are just there working.
Right.
But the rest of the state is to the right, but since it's so much of it's rural and spread out, basically if you just win Philly, Allentown, and Harrisburg, you'll probably win the entire state for the election. And that's basically, I mean, that's why Arlen Specter, the far right, can't unseat Arlen Specter either every 6 years, because Philadelphia really helps carry him. Basically, Philadelphia is the key. That's why I laugh. Everyone's carrying on about Scranton. Scranton's not really that big of a city or a media market. It's really, I think if you get a huge lead in the Lehigh Valley, which is Allentown, Bethlehem, Easton, Nazareth, and Philadelphia in that area, you could almost ignore the rest of the state, because you have the biggest amounts of concentrations of population right there on your side. So.
Yeah.
And from what I can see in the Lehigh Valley and Philly area, it's looking pretty good for Obama. And like I said, I'm noticing even now more in rural parts of Pennsylvania, Obama's starting to really pick up.
Well, he's padding his lead there. I've got him in the blue column. I do. I think they're firmly in the blue column right now.
Yeah, I don't think we're a swing state at all, to be honest. I think it's going to turn out that Pennsylvania was anything but a swing state. I think we're such a runaway, that's why McCain is spending so much time here now. He's in panic mode that he's probably going to get beat pretty handily in Pennsylvania.
Well, you know, looking at the electoral map right now, you and all of our listeners probably know this, McCain has to win Florida. He's got to win Ohio. He's got to win Indiana. He's got to win Nevada. He's got to win Colorado. He's got to win North Carolina. He has to win every one of those states in order to win the presidency.
Yeah, I got a feeling he might lose a few of them.
Absolutely.
Far right might not vote for him because they think he's too liberal, and then the more moderates will vote against him because they think he's out of touch.
I think he'll lose four of those states. I really do. I think he'll lose Ohio, Florida.
As long as there's not shenanigans in Ohio, yeah.
Well, yeah, and we're going to have a guest on tomorrow to talk about shenanigans in Ohio. We're going to have somebody that monitors the voting on tomorrow from Olmsted Falls up near Cleveland. They're watching it closely. You know, shenanigans, I'm glad you brought that up. Probably at the first of the year this year, I was willing to believe, I was naive enough to believe that maybe there wouldn't be much of that this year, but it turns out... is something we better really be on the guard for. The case.
There's a little bit of it right here, actually, in my own township. And I live in what's called Kuba Township, and there's a few different precincts. The precinct that has the heaviest minority and Democratic population, with less than 40 days to the election, has just had their polling place moved. Now, it is only about a mile down the state route road. But the problem with that is it's done on such short notice, and the majority of that population, they ride buses to New York and New Jersey, so they're working out of state all day. A lot of them only read the New York, like, Daily News. They don't see the local paper. So there's a lot of people who are going to be in for a shock on election day that their polling place was moved at the last minute. The NAACP filed a lawsuit. The sad part is the county said that it was legal because they could do it up until 20 days before the election legally in Pennsylvania. So I guess technically it cleans their hands and keeps the blood off the, you know, scream election fraud. But I mean, you got to call a spade a spade. It's a private community where they were doing the polling at, a gated community. The people who run the community are very hardcore Republicans. I know that from being from this area. My mother worked with someone involved with that. And so they loaded the building up with, like, office equipment. And for whatever reason, the county can't use their authority to just tell them move the equipment for election day, like the election board do everywhere else. Like, you know, we're going to do it in the gymnasium, the school, no gym class today.
Yeah.
You know, they tell the local fire company, we're going to do it in the garage, keep the fire trucks parked outside all day. But for whatever reason, they couldn't stand firm with the community putting a few Xerox machines in their way. And then they claim there wouldn't be enough parking and long lines, which is actually more of an effect. They're not sending enough machines up to handle the number of people. As a matter of fact, just to be a shameless promoter briefly so people could find the link if they haven't heard it yet, my blog, spikerogan.blogspot.com, I have a link to the local story about that, plus my own commentary on it.
Give that to us again, please.
It's Spike, S-P-I-K-E, Rogan, R-O-G-A-N, .blogspot.com.
Okay.
And it'll be the top story. I'm purposely avoided any dopey posts so that it stays at the top for a while, so people can easily find the link to the local stories about it, see the editorials, see the locals who keep commenting the local paper, kind of making lots of blatant racist and far right wing statements defending the move.
It's going to be a problem many places around the country. We're certainly going to have. Well, and of course, you know, with the huge amount of new registrants this year,
yep.
I see many of the states are having trouble keeping up with those. So there's going to be problems at the polls. Right?
I know we've had in our county a record number of new registered voters. Technically speaking, since I moved back to the county this year, I was one of them. The last day, which was Monday, that you could register in the Commonwealth to vote. Our county election office had 500 new registrants alone that day, which is huge. Normally so few people vote. The fact 500 in one day show up to do it really means they're going to be a lot of people voting. And there were a lot of people voting 4 years ago, but it was kind of 50-50, a lot of people voting. It seems to be overwhelmingly now. I'm the extreme left, according to Obama's latest ads about health care. I never was interested in politics till the year 2000 when I heard Nader speak, and that inspired me to get involved. So I'm a very progressive-minded individual, so there's a lot I disagree with Obama. So keep that in mind when I say I just think this year will be a slam dunk for him, at least in this state.
Well,
and hopefully everywhere else.
I hope it will as well. Yeah, I hope so. Hey, thanks so much for calling. Good to hear from you. Call back anytime. And it's spikerogan.blogspot.com, right?
Yes, sir. Hey, thank you. It's great talking to you. And go Lafayette Leopards and go Joe Pa. I think Penn State's going to win the national
title. Nah, Ohio State will have something to say about that in a couple weeks. They have to come to Columbus, but... And the Buckeyes aren't looking so good this year, so maybe Joe Pa can do it. I don't know if he'd be the oldest ever to win a national championship or not. I think maybe so.
He would certainly be the most popular to ever pull it off.
I wonder if they still walk around with those life-size cutouts of him at State College on game day.
Oh, he's larger than life here. I mean, they even put his image on, like, loaves of bread to sell it in stores around here.
Well, you know, I have great respect for Joe, and I really do, because... Any guy, number one, who has donated the amount of money he's donated to his beloved university, millions, and also turned down a professional contract to coach to, what was it, the New England Patriots many years ago.
The Steelers in the early 70s.
Yeah, to stay at his university. I've got nothing but respect for that guy.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, bye now. Yeah, college football. My beloved Buckeyes lost a game already. Bob's not feeling really good about the Nears. we'll be finding out a little more. Well, I think we got Penn State, what, week after next, 2 or 3 weeks? I'm not sure. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. You know, it all started last week. I think all this ugly business started last week. There she was. Sarah Palin was being broadcast on MSNBC, practically foaming at the mouth. I was surprised she shifted gears the way she did. I knew she was capable of it, but here she was accusing Barack Obama of being someone who would, and that's a quote, pal around with terrorists. I wanted to reach through the... TV, and she said, I'm afraid, and if I've got this quoted right, I'm afraid that this is someone who sees America as imperfect enough to work with a former domestic terrorist who targeted his own country. Now, that terrorist in question is William Ayers, 63 years old, whom, along with his wife, Bernadine Dorn, and you're familiar with those names, he was one of the co-founders of the radical organization, and I'm not backing him, of course. The Weather Underground. It was some really bad things those people did. But he was never charged with any terrorist-related activities. And the McCain campaign has labeled him as a terrorist. And frankly, I think if Ayers would sue him, he'd probably win for slander. But in 1993, And here's one of the things that they keep bringing up. In 1993, he held what was called at the time a tea at his house in order to introduce Barack Obama, who then was an unknown hopeful for the Illinois State House, and to introduce him to the local Democrats. And although Obama and Ayers have sat on a couple of not-for-profit boards of directors together, their association throughout the years has been, it can't be called anything but peripheral. Ayers today is, as you know, he's a college professor. He isn't a threat to anybody. As far as I can tell, he's never been on any no-fly list. And it should be absolutely noted, and this is the one thing that they better get through their heads, it should be noted that when Ayers was involved in this extracurricular revolutionary activity that he was involved in, which nobody condones, Obama was in the third grade, and Palin was in kindergarten. And so the problem is for McCain right now, him and his little buddy Palin, they've got to change the subject. That's the lipstick on a pig thing backfired on them. So they decided they needed to change the subject to the topic of Barack Obama's character. And, you know, as I've mentioned many times on this program in many different ways, character? John McCain wants to talk about character? Sarah Palin wants to talk about character? Really? You know, one of the founding fathers of the Republican Party was, and they like to brag about it, was Abraham Lincoln. And he believed to the very depths of his soul that no state in the Union had the constitutional right to secede from the Union. And the Republicans ought to remember that Abraham Lincoln, the Republican, fought a civil war to kind of drive home that point. Can you imagine the hell the right wing would have raised if Joe Biden's wife, Jill, had up until relatively recently, if she'd been involved in an organization that advocated independence from the state of Delaware? Well, you know they'd be going crazy. They would absolutely be going crazy. That very fact alone would have disqualified Joe Biden from being on the ticket. And the fact that Mr. Sarah Palin, until a few years ago, belonged to the AIP, the Alaskan Independent Party, that fought for secession, means not a thing to these hypocrites. Nothing. And another thing, the McCainiac people are rehashing this week is the old controversy surrounding Obama's former preacher, Jeremiah Wright. It's not a good idea. Not a good idea at all. Not only do the members of Sarah Palin's church talk in tongues, as we played the audio in this program a few years ago, one of her current pastors, Thomas Muthy, was the head of a church in a small town in Kenya. The story's been out. Run a woman out of town for being a witch. And we have the audio and the video of her praying over Sarah Palin. And then, you know, when she announced that her 17-year-old daughter was expecting a child, unmarried, by the way, the Republican spin machine went nuts. Isn't that sweet? She chose life. They turned that against the Democrats, even. She chose life. Well, that's nice, but I'm going to ask you a question. Can you even imagine that we're either one of Barack Obama's adorable little daughters, if they were of that age, if it was revealed that one of them was pregnant, can you imagine what you would be hearing right now? Well, you know, those women are all sluts. What do you expect? I mean, that's what we would be hearing. And while we're on the subject of Michelle Obama, can you even imagine, if you will, And we've told this story on the program before, but can you imagine in your mind how the conservatives would have been reacted had Mrs. Obama, a black woman, been caught red-handed stealing drugs, as Cindy McCain was, from a charity devoted to caring for sick children? Man, oh man. Barack Obama wouldn't be carrying the Democratic banner right now. You know that. And in December of 1972, only 6 weeks after Joe Biden, he was only 29 years old, only 6 weeks after he was elected for the first time to the United States Senate, his wife Nelia and his infant daughter were killed in a terrible automobile accident while picking up the family Christmas tree. His two young sons were also injured in that accident. You remember, you know about this. Suppose that poor Nelia had not died in that wreck. Suppose she survived and been terribly disfigured as a result of that. Suppose Joe Biden had taken a good look at Nelia and decided this gal just wasn't the trophy wife that should be seen arm in arm with the United States Senator. Suppose he initiated an affair with a millionaire beer distribution heiress. Now, suppose Joe at that point in time decided to give the unfortunate woman the old heave ho by divorcing her. Knowing all that, do you think someone like Joe Biden would have had the chutzpah in 2008 to stand before the American people with a straight face and portray himself as the guardian of family values? And you mean to tell me that the two pathetic hacks like Sarah Palin and John McCain have the unmitigated gall to question the character of Barack Obama? Is this not the worst double standard that you've ever heard of in politics? Or maybe anywhere else? I don't know. Maybe you better listen a little closer to his good friend and Republican mentor, Karl Rove. And it looks like Karl Rove's at it again. He's now saying that Obama will be the probable winner in 28 days from now. Was it 27, 28 days? I'm not sure which one it is. Remember old Turd Blossom's own words? He said if the election were held today, Obama would win every state John Kerry won in 2004. While adding New Mexico, Iowa, and Colorado to his coalition. Well, that's true. Rove did say that, but you better look out. Karl Rove was just saying that to probably get us a little bit overconfident and keep the fervor for the Democratic candidate down so they won't go out and vote. That's probably the only reason he said that. This is going to be remembered as the dirtiest, most disgusting presidential campaign since, well, you really have to look back at the beginning of the 1800s, the Adam Jefferson contest, a couple hundred years ago. The Republicans are desperate. Have you looked at Bush lately? I think he's aged about 10 years just since March. And I don't think there's anybody in this country that's hoping for a McCain-Palin victory more than George W. Bush, because I think he knows that when a Justice Department run by a competent, responsible prosecutor is finally able to look at the crimes committed by the Bush gang, he and a whole hell of a lot of people in his administration will be on their way to federal prison for a long, long time. Probably not him. It's going to be hard to get at him. The only way the Republican Party is going to be able to win this election will be by us stealing it again, and don't you put it past them. We're going to have somebody on tomorrow to talk about that. Seriously, did you ever get the feeling you're living within the pages of some sort of a dark comic masterpiece of a book here. I mean, it's just crazy. It really is. 866-546-5254. That's 866-546-5254. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
I understand the horror of war. I understand the horror of peace. If there's one thing that I've always stood for, it's horror. Horror.
This is the end. Beautiful friend.
We need a president who is not afraid to be moral and be conservative, but also to kill. You want to tell me that Barack Hussein Obama, that half a Canuck faggot, knows anything about horror? This country needs a president who will stand toe-to-toe with Putin and Chavez and Mahmoud with that gook who's in charge of Iran. The horror, my friends. The horror.
John, your hair's getting a little thin on top.
Well, at least I don't cake on the makeup like a trollop, you cunt.
That was fair.
Horror.
Peace.
Ah, yes. Imagine, that is by Eva Cassidy. Imagine. Imagine what this country could be like. Imagine what it could be like. We know what it is like now. And we've been a country with great opportunities and great fortune over the years. There's no question about that. But we're on a downward spiral right now that if it's not stopped soon, we're going to descend into a group of nations that we look upon right now as being poor and weak, and I don't think we want to go there, but we are headed there. I hope America's greatest days are ahead. I sincerely do. But imagine. Imagine where we end up if we stay on the path we're on right now. Imagine this country losing its military power, its financial might, its great resolve. We've already lost much of our manufacturing capacity. We've lost much of our national confidence and pride. Imagine where we'd be another 4 or 8 years now with the kind of leadership that we've had for the last 8 years. Imagine that if you can. I don't want to think about it. I really don't want to think about it. But I can't imagine what this country might be like with a new leader. We've got some trials and tribulations to go through with the economy. That's a certainty. And there's going to be some pain with it. Even if we do get a new president, a new Democratic president, there's going to be some pain for a while economically in this country. And I hope the citizens understand that and give them a chance. But I do believe in my heart that I can imagine a better America than we've ever been if we give this man a chance to give the kind of leadership that we need in this country. If we're going to progress, if we're going to maintain the ideals that we've had for so many years in this country, I think he can do it. I'm convinced he could do it, or I would not be wishing for him, pushing for him to be the President of the United States. As you all know, he was not my first choice. But I've learned a lot about Barack Obama, as many of you have, and I'm fully confident that the man can do the job. Oh, I don't agree with him on everything. I certainly never will. And I know most of you won't either. But I think most people are beginning to understand that there's great leadership ability available in one Barack Obama. I think you know that he is ready to run the country, can run the country, has the ability and the talents to run the country. And I think people will follow him. He's a confident, very confident leader. And I'm looking forward to his presidency, I am, see what he can do. I'm more than willing to give him the chance that he needs. Well, that's about all we have today. I'm glad that you have listened to the Guy James Show here in the Head On Radio Network. Would like you to remember this is a listener-supported program, and we could most certainly use your help with the program right now. It's kind of a tough time for this program and the Head On Radio Network. So help out if you can. Thanks to Billy Shears, our music director. Thanks to Bob Kincaid and the Head On Radio Network. And don't forget, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. See you tomorrow, gang.